It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. It's printed different in the bulletin, so you have to believe me and not your bulletin this morning. Hear now these words. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him, and all the region around the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. John sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't he? First of all, his appearance, this man out in the wilderness, we often refer to John the Baptist as a wild man. He's wearing clothing of camel's hair. I think I saw a camel once at a zoo. I think maybe there's a picture of me riding a camel, too, at one point in the Jacksonville Zoo down in Florida. So I've seen camels before. I don't necessarily know how hairy or leathery they are or anything, but I think anytime you see somebody wearing wild animal hair, you're like, that person's a little out there. He's wearing camel's hair. He's got a belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. Sounds like Madeline's favorite meal, I think. I told y'all we tried the cicada, the chocolate-covered cicadas this past summer, didn't I? They were pretty tasty. I wouldn't want to make a whole meal out of them. John is this wild person out in the wilderness, and he's not only is his appearance and the things that he's wearing and his look is wild, but his message itself is wild. It's so wild, people are showing up to listen to it. He's out in the wilderness. Have you ever been out in the wilderness? There's not a lot of people there. That's one of the reasons that most of us like to go to the wilderness, to get away from everybody. There's not much going on in the wilderness. Even today, our seats of power, the places where things are going on, are often in our cities. They're in our populated areas. The wilderness is a strange and dangerous place. Things don't happen there that everybody needs to pay attention to. And yet, John is out in that wilderness proclaiming this message. And there's a little bit of hyperbole in the scripture. Matthew says that everybody is going out. All of Jerusalem, all the people from around that area, everybody was going out. Again, it's a little bit of hyperbole. Not everybody was going out, but we're to understand that a lot of people were paying attention. People were coming out to hear John's message. They were coming out into the wilderness, this place that you don't normally go, because something was happening. So much so that the Sadducees and the Pharisees go out. Now, this would be like a bunch of UK and Louisville fans showing up at an event together to watch maybe Duke basketball or something. That's absurd, is it not? Did I get that one right? Yes, that was a good, that hit. All right, it's good when they land. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they don't like each other. They're both these people of authority and power, but they're different seats of power. They're fighting with one another often enough, but here they are coming together from the temple, coming out to see what this man is doing. John's message is so wild and crazy. These enemies and people that disagree with each other are unifying. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, that sort of deal. They're coming together and going out to see what this man is talking about. And what is John's message? It's that message of preparation. Get ready. Something is happening. God is doing something new and incredible, and you're going to want to be a part of it, but you're not ready to be a part of it yet. You've got to get ready. You need to repent. You need to turn your heart around. You need to make a decision. A repentance is a personal thing. Repentance happens in your head and in your heart. It's personal. You need to decide, John says, right now to turn and do things differently. What you've been doing isn't right. You need to decide now to turn your heart and your mind and your life around. That's the first step. That's that personal decision that you need to make. But then you also need to come and confess your sins. Again, all the people are there. You've made this individual change and decision in your heart and your mind, but you need to come together with the community and confess your sins. Speak it out loud. I pretended to talk to the kids about hard changes. Thus, we can hear that formula in our own lives when we're trying to make changes. I don't like doing New Year's resolutions because it's too cliche. And so I decided I'm going to start early. So I've already started and set a New Year's resolution. I've also already failed it. I decided I need to run some more. I did the Turkey Trot 5K down at the Keeneland on Thanksgiving. Whew, it was rough. It's bad. So I said, I need to start running. I had this repentance in my heart. I need to change my slothful ways, my sitting around ways. I need to run more. I made this decision in my heart. That was last week. I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't confess it aloud to anybody. I didn't bring and tell folks that I was going to do this, confess my sins of slothfulness. And so I didn't run. I had time this week. I didn't do it. It was cold too. You make all sorts of excuses, don't you? It's too cold. I don't have the right pants to keep my legs warm. I don't have a good beanie to keep my head warm. I'm going to be cold when I'm out there. Maybe tomorrow I'll start. We make excuses when we don't bring in the community. So now you guys can ask me when you see me this week, hey, did you run today? I expect you to do that for me. This is part of the confessing our sins and bringing it before the community. We have support and help. I'm a person that sort of works on shame. If you're like, did you run today? No. And then tomorrow, I think, well, somebody's going to ask me if I ran, so I better run, because I don't want to have to say no. Part of what bringing and coming together as a community and confessing our sins, sharing that repentance that we have in our hearts, gives us that accountability and that help that we need. John says this new thing is coming. You're not ready, but you need to get there. Change your heart, but come together as a community and be there for one another, recognizing the ways that you need to do better. This is good. But that's also the easy part. Deciding in your heart and your brain that you're going to do something, telling others in the community that you're going to make a change, that's the easy part. That's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to be a part of with John's baptism. And that's why he calls them out. What are you doing here? Who told you about these things that are to come? It's easy to say you're doing these things. It's easy to make that repentance in your heart, even to confess in your sins, but you haven't actually changed your life. As great as that was to tell you I'm going to run more, it doesn't mean diddly squat if I don't actually do it, does it? Changing my heart, sharing with you all, having your support, none of it makes a difference if that fruit is not bared by my actions. And John calls out these Pharisees and these Sadducees and all of these leaders, don't think that you're out of the crosshairs. Don't think that just because you are the ancestors, the descendants of Abraham, and Abraham is your ancestor, that you get out of needing to do these things. You can say and do all what you think you need to do and say, but unless you make those changes, nothing matters. And then John promises why. John says he's just the beginning. He is that voice crying out. He's the one preparing you for what is to come. And what is to come is the main event. John says, I baptize you with water. You've confessed your sins. You've repented. I dunk you under the water. Your sins are washed away. They go down river. But they're down there. Your sins have still existed. They're no longer bound to you, sullying yourself, but they're there. The one who will come after me brings fire. Burn them up. Your sins will no longer be a part of this world. They will be gone. And this is part of why you need to change. Because the fire is going to burn and consume everything that needs to be consumed. And if you haven't changed, and all that you are and all that you have is things that need to be consumed by fire, what is left when the fire is done burning? So John calls these people that are out listening to him. John calls us today to change, to live lives and build hearts and minds and souls that are worthy of Christ. But also recognizing that Christ is going to burn those sins away. And if all we have left are our sins, it all gets burned up. This is the second week of Advent. I keep talking about it being this time of preparation. We've got time to get ready. This is a call. We should hear this wild, crazy man's words to confess our sins with one another, to change and repent our own hearts, but to build lives and community that are good and worthy fruit. Because the fire is coming, and it's going to burn away all that is not worthy of Christ. We ought to be budding and growing those fruits that will be left. Amen.